Take aim, fire, and score. It's Duck Hunt. Welcome to Nostalgia, a chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean Tresmond.
I'm Joe Castu.
All right. And Joe is joining us via satellite for this episode, so he might just be a little late, but for the most part, I think it'll work. Guys, today we're talking about Duck Hunt, that game that kind of came out in America like three times before it came out on NES. A lot of people don't know that, but like Nintendo released it as kind of like this projector game that you shot one at the wall with like a real gun, and then it also went to the arcades in like the Verse system thing, which was like a thing Nintendo did, and then like,
and you're saying that you shot at the wall with a real gun?
Well, yeah, that's that's dangerous, but believe it or not, you know, people love their guns, so they were okay with it. They, you know, completely remortgaged their house and they just had to refinance the house after putting all those bullets in the wall. Okay. But more importantly, and what I was getting at, the success of the Verse system version, that actually was kind of the catalyst for Nintendo to decide, like, the NES is worth sending that off to America. Like, Duck Hunt was the game that kind of convinced them, we have, like, a viable stake in North America.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think it actually even did that well in Japan, as opposed to how, you know, because we do love our guns over here.
Yeah, and the game kind of does feel American.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I don't know about those, that ever-present tree. I don't know if that, like, that looks like an Asian tree to me.
Yeah, there's no wind in this game. Yeah. You know, like, the tree never, like, I don't even, what's an adjective to describe a tree?
Sways.
Yeah, swaying. The tree never sways in the wind.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's just kind of do like first impressions.
So yeah, Duck Hunt is as I remembered it. It was one of the games that I did play in my childhood on the NES. It's still fun to shoot stuff at a screen. It doesn't matter like how old the technology is that does it. It's still, because of its tactile nature, and it's not just like D-pad and two buttons, it's, you're actually shooting at things. It doesn't really age at the same rate as the rest of these games.
That's a good point. Joe?
So yeah, my initial impression was actually really, really positive. I also played this when I was a kid, and I kind of went into it thinking like, it's probably not as good as I remember. But it kind of blew my mind. I was shocked at how well this old light gun game worked, and I had a blast.
Okay, I kind of have a little bit of a different feel in terms of how well the game worked. Like, it is impressive that the zapper still works and that you can shoot the ducks and everything, but it is kind of, it's still restrictive in some ways, and it's very easy to cheat, and it does become kind of really hard if you're too far away. But overall, I liked it. I think my first impression was just kind of like, this is what I remember. Mm-hmm. It wasn't exciting. It did, you know, like, it wasn't any better than when it was as a kid. So I think we should kind of just really quickly, even though it seems kind of obvious, we should talk about the objective of the game. Does anybody kind of want to walk us through what you do?
All right, I'll give it a shot. So you are trying to get the dog.
What?
the version I played.
Yes.
That you're supposed to shoot the dog, right?
Okay, I get it. Yeah. I think everybody would love to shoot that dog. What Sean's referring to is sometimes if you don't shoot the birds, the dog will laugh at you. And this just brings up another useless trivia fact. In the, I think it's the Verse system version, or it's the original projector version.
Yeah, you can shoot the dog.
You can shoot the dog.
Yeah.
In this one, you cannot shoot the dog, but people would love to do that. Joe, do you want to try and walk us through the objective of this game?
Yeah, I thought I did well.
It was fun.
So yeah, there's three different modes in this game, but the main objective of two of the modes is to shoot ducks. So, you know, you have the one duck version, which is kind of a lot easier than the other, where you're just kind of getting the hang of it. One duck kind of comes out, starts out pretty slow. You know, it zigs and zags, but, you know, it's just your simple target. Right. And then there's the two duck version.
Two duck mode.
Yeah. So the two duck version, which I think is much more fun. Obviously, you have two ducks coming out. They get faster a lot quicker. But yeah, you have your peripheral gun, so you're actually aiming in real life, which is what I thought kind of set this apart, where it feels like you're kind of, it's kind of a skill-based game on something you're doing in real life and not just like aiming within the game.
I agree, and I think that's a good point to just jump in and kind of, before we go too far into the rest of the game, I'd like to talk just really fast, since you bring it up, the Zapper. I'd just like to talk about that, because this is kind of the first game of a few that has the Zapper involved in it, and it's, first off, it's dramatically different than the Japanese version of the Zapper. The Japanese version of the Zapper actually looks like a gun, and even came with a holster.
Yeah.
Like, so you could just, like, keep it in there.
But it was very Wild Westy.
Yeah, and then this one, the American version, is actually, it's cool. It's futuristic.
Yeah. One of the things that I've heard people talk about when they talk about the change in the design of the Zapper is that it's like, genre-proof. Like, it looks like it's a part of the system and not a themed item for a specific game that you're playing.
That's actually a great way of describing that.
Yeah, so
yeah, that makes sense.
I would say that it was a good thing that they did that. I still would have thought it would be fun to shoot with, like, the little, like, six-shooter thing.
Kind of makes you wish that they did release, like, other... I mean, I'm sure there's bootleg products, but, like, official versions of the Zapper at the time, at least. It's not useful anymore.
My favorite part about the Zapper is how well the two sights line up. I mean, if you look down those two sights... If you miss after looking down those two sights, you missed.
Like, felt very rewarded and vindicated when you got a shot.
Right.
Like, you felt like, I deserved that shot. Like, I shot that duck.
Exactly. It never felt like, when I missed, I could always tell, like, yeah, I did miss. Like, it never felt like the game screwed up or like the game wasn't accurate enough.
And then when I hit, I gotta wonder if I'm missing something there.
You do play on a CRT?
I did play on a CRT, but I didn't look through the crosshairs that you're talking about.
Right.
I shot more with like a squinty eye.
Right. So if you look through those crosshairs, what I found is like that's how you can know you're being as accurate as possible.
See, I found, I always had, the way that I played the game is you just hold it up to the screen. And then you don't miss. It doesn't matter.
You never miss.
It doesn't matter what, like, how the actual crosshair lines up.
That's actually a great way, Sean, to feel really good at a video game. I've never felt better about a video game than when I cheat.
That's true.
It is very easy to cheat in this game. But I will say it's kind of interesting that they built in an anti-cheating device, even though it's still so easy to just hold it up to the screen. But
what's the anti-cheat
device?
If you were to just shine a flashlight in the light gun, the way the light gun works is that when you pull the trigger, the ducks turn into white squares, and if the gun senses those white squares, it's a hit.
Which is kind of genius.
Right. So if you could just shine a flashlight in there, it would always sense it as a hit. So what it does is when you pull the trigger, it actually has one quick black frame and then one quick white frame. So if it doesn't sense the black frame first, it knows you're not pointing it at the screen, and it automatically counts it as a miss.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, which is also why it doesn't work on like HD TVs, because
there's one of the very first frame perfect inputs.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, and one real quick thing, I have to give a shout out to my Zapper, because it's not the gray one. I actually had the orange one, and I think that was
more common.
Really?
Because
I don't know if I'd ever seen a gray one.
Yeah, I've only seen the orange one. That's because it's more of the NES colors.
Yeah, I think during the 80s. Like, some law was passed that all mock guns had to have that orange bit.
Oh, right. Like, and they would have that red tip, too, in front of where
I think this was them just going, like, we're going to make the whole thing orange.
All right. So that's it for the Zapper. But let's talk about the game modes. First, let's just start very fast with the first mode, which is just the one duck. Anybody have any strong feelings about this?
Strong feelings about one duck?
That's what the mode is called, too. It says, like, one duck, and then the second mode, two ducks. It's like, okay.
So my only particularly strong feelings about this is, I mean, first of all, it's very easy. This is the mode that you use to, like, to figure out what the game is, to practice.
Right, it's definitely, like, a learning mode. And you'll see this kind of in almost every NES game that has, like, a mode A and a mode B.
Right.
It's like, Mode A is more like you're learning the game. It's a little more friendlier. And then like Mode B is kind of like, okay, you want a challenge. This is what you get.
Right. But what I didn't know when I was a kid, someone just told me, you know, recently before I played it this time, is that a second in one duck mode, a second player can control the ducks, which blew my mind. Oh, I did not. Yeah. I never knew that you could do that.
I think I remember doing that.
Did you have someone to do that with?
Yes. Yeah. So I actually played this at a friend's house, and I think that might be part of why I'm so positive on it, is playing this with a friend and competing and going back and forth was, it was just, it just didn't get old because it's just that, you know, nature of competition. But yeah, so we controlled the one duck, and I will say for the first maybe 10 rounds, it's kind of useless to control the duck because he moves so slow anyways that...
What's your like range of control on the duck? Because the duck in the game already has like some pretty interesting diagonal patterns right. that I can't imagine you being able to pull off with the NES controller.
So you can. The only thing is you can't change the speed, but you can change the direction on like whatever 6 points or whatever it moves.
Right. Okay.
But so once it gets to maybe round 10 and it starts to speed up, that's when suddenly the second player feels like they can screw over the first player a little more easily because it's moving faster. So, like, I would do little things. Like, I would try and stay at the top of the screen so when it was ready to fly away, it would just fly away immediately. It wouldn't have to cover the distance of the screen. Or sometimes I would just try and hang out behind the tree so it was harder to see the duck. I mean, it's only little things that you can really do. But it's a fun, you know, it's a fun aside from the rest of the game.
Okay. Sean, any feelings on one duck or should we move on to two duck?
I think everything that can be said about one duck has been said.
Has just been said. That's beautiful. And so let's move on to two ducks. Kind of the real mode here, as we're all alluding to, I definitely feel like this is Duck Hunt at its purest. I think if you did three ducks, that would be like way too much.
Yeah.
And especially considering you only have three shots too, it would just be like a major challenge. But I really respect kind of like the randomness of the pattern of the ducks too. Like even right off the bat, even though they're not going too fast, you still have, there's a bit of a learning curve there because you have to kind of follow both ducks while still only being able to shoot at one. I mean, was anybody able to shoot both ducks down at the same time? Is that even possible?
I don't think they overlap. So,
oh, you mean with one shot?
Right, with one shot. Like, I was trying to do that, but it wasn't happening. Like, there was never a time where I could perfectly hit them both.
Because of the technology, I don't think that, like,
it would have just registered the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because, well, that's another thing about the, not to get back into the gun, but it.
No, I love it. Keep going.
When there's two ducks, it'll do black frame. Then the first duck will light up in one frame, and the second duck will light up in a different frame.
How does it know? Oh, I almost asked a really dumb question. I get it.
Yeah, so it just depends on which frame it senses the light, and it knows which duck you hit.
Did anybody play this game like for the high score? Like, was anyone trying to chase a certain score or anything? When I was playing, I really didn't care about the score. I just wanted to keep like seeing how much faster the ducks would get. I never really checked on my score. I couldn't even report to you what my high score is.
No, yeah, same thing. I don't think that just because of like what we grew up with, do you pay attention to scores in any game?
I rarely pay attention to scores.
Especially
I
think,
like,
when they're
if
like
there's a leaderboard in a new game, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I'll pay attention to the score. But in these games, I was never, and I think like I was also never good enough to care.
Yeah, exactly.
So
like,
Sorry.
You can even like, I know this is going out of episode, but if you look at Mario, I mean, like, there are scores in Mario, but did you ever care about
right,
your score?
It's almost
in
like
Mario?
They just like, it's an arcade thing, like,
yeah.
You know, like the idea of like having a high score, putting your initials in the cabinet, like that was something that was still like, even though that's really only appropriate at the arcade, mm-hmm. consoles did it as a way to kind of like keep that,
bring your friends over,
right, and keep that arcade experience at the house.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, you were going to say?
So I wouldn't have cared about the score. I really never care about the scores. But like I said, because I was playing with a friend, we were competing back and forth to beat each other's high scores. So it was kind of like a back and forth, like who could get the higher score.
Score you landed on?
Yeah, it tells you. It'll tell you the highest score.
Oh, no,
score.
I just meant like, what? Yeah, what? Like,
oh,
what
do I know right
score?
Now? No, I didn't. I don't remember.
Okay.
It probably wasn't anything that great to anyone who plays this game
more often than I
do.
Yeah, nothing impressive, right?
But we got, on two ducks, we were able to get... I think the highest we have ever gotten to is like round 17. I don't remember the score, but yeah, that's it did get significantly harder because at a certain point you can't miss, like, you can only miss one duck, and I'm sure the further you go, you could probably not miss any.
Yeah, and they appropriately reward you, though, too. You know, the points become more valuable as you move on through the rounds. Yeah. And even a perfect becomes worth more.
Well, yeah, and a perfect, even from the beginning, I'm pretty sure a perfect is worth more than the amount of the whole round. Like, if you get a perfect,
and that's important, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Anybody else have anything on two ducks?
No.
All right. Cool.
Well, the only other thing just that I noted too. Sorry, I've got a lot to say about Duck Hunt, but
I want to hear it.
The different colored ducks go and leave the screen more quickly.
The brown ones.
Yeah. I think there were black, blue, and red. Well, brown. Yeah, I guess brown.
Blue
red.
Blue is like the first one you usually see.
Right.
Right. And then I remember. I remember the brown ones. I'm sure there are black ones, but which one was like the hardest, I guess?
I think the red brown ones. I think they left the screen the quickest. But I just thought it was interesting that there were three different like levels. So at a certain point, I was like, okay, which one do I shoot first because it's going to leave sooner? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That is kind of like I was kind of when I was playing this game, kind of had a beef with it because I didn't feel like there was like enough programmed into the ducks or even variety. But it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, and only now am I realizing that that's true.
Yeah.
Like the colors of the ducks and the flyway, and it's subtle enough that it's kind of nice.
I have noticed you do have some beefs with this game. What were the things that you were kind of calling it out on earlier?
So I was calling it out mainly on the zapper functionality.
Okay.
And that one thing that, and this happened to me even as a kid, but basically If you're standing way too far away, you won't be able to register for the most part. And if you're standing too close, it's almost like it playing on easy mode.
Yeah.
So you do kind of have to find that perfect rhythm. But even that said, and this could just be me being bad at it, the zapper as a controller feels like less rewarding than the NES gamepad feels with the other games. Like, I feel like when something clicks with me on the NES gamepad, it's like, to me, that's gaming, and that's like me getting in the groove. With the zapper, when I got a shot, I never felt like certain, like how Joe did. I never felt so certain that like I earned that shot.
Okay.
And then there were other times where I kind of felt like I had that.
That was my
you
shot.
You know, like, yeah.
I think you were also saying that you didn't think that there was enough to the game, right?
Right. I feel like the two duck mode is definitely like a significant improvement on the first one, but I would have just liked to even see like more obstacles or different
sure.
scenery, you know, like something different.
What Joe was saying about like how it can definitely have fun with this alone, I think, but like as that, it's less like the score is there, but it's less of a like, oh, I'm gonna beat Duck Hunt, where it's more like, no, this is more of like an activity that you just happen to have an NES to do.
I like that perspective. Joe, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, well, I also feel like it was something where, like I said, I feel like throughout the night while I was playing it, like I got better at it. So it felt like I was actually, even though it's still just a video game, like it felt like I was actually improving. It was just so much more rewarding because I was doing something in real life. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure it doesn't really translate to shooting a gun, but like I felt like it must have been accurate because I was getting better at it. How, you know what I mean?
Is this better than like a VR experience today?
I think that. So I've never really been in like an actual like PlayStation VR or anything, but I think, and this might not be a popular opinion, but I would probably play this over most things on the Wii.
On the Wii, okay.
Yeah. So that's what I was kind of comparing it to. I couldn't believe how well it worked. And also, you know, just to talk real quick about the idea that there's not a lot to do or that you would get bored quickly. And maybe it's because I was playing with someone else, but man, we played this for a while. Then we went out with a couple of our friends and then we told our friends we were playing it and we went back and we played it for like another few hours. Like we were,
wow. Yeah.
And cause there's just so many, you know, I felt like there was kind of a lot you could do. You can do the one duck, which is like easy mode, just ease your way into it. Then you can do one duck with a second player, which you're not competing for score against each other.
That is a cool addition that I wish I would have been able to take part in.
And what's interesting is that you're not competing against each other for score. One player is trying to sabotage the other player's score, which is like something that you don't see very often.
Yeah.
And then you've got two ducks.
Who was more successful in that mode? Probably the zapper, right?
Oh yeah, it was a lot harder to be the duck. It was really more. Like, oh, this is my score without a player. This is my regular score. How much worse can the second player make you do?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sound, sounds like a good drinking game where the person who plays the duck has to take a shot every
time
they get
one.
Shot.
There's another one.
We have a whole list of NES drinking games. We should actually do like a little like
a write up.
Yeah, that should be a write up of NES drinking games. Okay, you guys are talking pretty good about Duck Hunt, and to be honest, I'm liking a lot of your arguments. Like, even though I'm not too jazzed about this game, as we like to say sometimes on this podcast, I do think that you guys have like sound reasons to like Duck Hunt.
And one thing that I want to suggest too is that try playing it by looking through the sights. Maybe it will just still have different opinions, but I think you might notice that it feels really good.
It feels better
to go
okay.
through the sights. Yeah, at least that's how I felt. I felt very satisfied.
You could also make this
a
lot more. You can make this game a lot more interesting by like having self-imposed rules. Like you can actually, like I know that the Japanese version had the holster. Like try like between rounds, keep it at your belt.
Like a quick draw kind of thing.
Yeah, you can do a lot with this game. It's not just what's in the code.
It's kind of, you needed to use your imagination back then, and I feel like, you guys are making me feel like I let the game down.
I
failed the game.
I think you failed Duck Hunt, man.
Failed Duck Hunt. We'll have to give it another year, and I'll do a re-review where I just admit that I was wrong and that Duck Hunt is incredible. So let's just talk, because we're talking a lot about the ducks. Let's talk about clay discs.
Oh, yeah.
That's another mode in this game that I feel like no one really knows about. Like, if you know how, like, when you go on people on the street and you talk, you know, you ask, like, a question about something and it's, like, for a very obvious topic? If we brought in, like, Duck Hunt people who played it in their childhood, I bet they wouldn't be able to tell you, oh yeah, that had a clay disc mode. You know, like people just don't really, you don't see that image too often. Nintendo really doesn't mention it that much.
Yeah. No, I vaguely remember happening upon it and then getting angry because that wasn't the mode I wanted back when I was a kid.
Right. It's much more fun to be shooting live targets than these clay discs. Joe, obviously, for someone who got the most value out of this game, where do you put the clay discs in respect to the rest of the game?
So I do want to say, I promise I'm not just like a Duck Hunt fanboy. Like I haven't played this in
but
years.
Clay discs but was the best mode ever.
I can't say best, but I really enjoyed the clay discs too, because it offered something different than the ducks, where it felt like with the ducks, it was like, test your reaction and your reflexes, like how quick can you keep up with the duck? Where the discs was like testing your accuracy more, like because the target gets smaller and smaller. And so there, you know, me and my friend Mark that played this, we kind of said that like there was nothing really more satisfying than missing a shot on a clay disc and then slowly zeroing in on it. And then squeezing the trigger, and you feel like, I feel like I'm like an assassin. Like, I feel like it made me feel
Joe.
Like I was really.
You're doing beautiful things to Duck Hunt.
You really are a Duck Hunt shill.
You should
and
be,
I'm
yeah,
on your
you
side
should be
for
like
most
a
of
Duck
this.
Hunt archivist, you know? Like, just like. You should buy every NES copy of Duck Hunt and just like keep it for yourself. So you have the whole collection.
If I could, I would do that.
Here's the one satisfying thing about the clay discs for me. First off, I really like the sense of draw distance in that. Like, that was kind of cool to, like, even though it was just changing the size, it did kind of feel like, oh no, I have to hit this target. It's vanishing. Whereas, like, the ducks just kind of decided after a while, like, I'm gone. Peace out. Like, you know, like, the clay discs, you actually, like, felt, like, an alarm in you to, like, shoot them before it was too late. Now, the other thing I really liked about the clay shooting was kind of like that firework explosion they make when you blow them up, you know? They just kind of like become
like the
bits.
It's definitely satisfying. Yeah. Like that is that looks nice and it sounds
nice. It feels more rewarding than like, and then don't get me wrong, it's kind of cool to see the duck too, like pose there for a second as it's dead.
No, it looks more startled. Like it's like, oh no.
I'm dead. Like that would actually be.
This is rated G.
That would be incredible. When you shot the ducks in Duck Hunt, you just saw like their bloodied, massacred bodies. Like,
yeah, that would be bad.
Thank goodness Nintendo never included that. But there's that. Anything else on clay discs?
The only other thing I have too is that.
Of course.
It felt like there were kind of two ways you can play that too, where you could test your reflexes, like as soon as they come out on some point of the screen, see how quickly you can shoot both of them, but then you're more likely to actually miss. Or you can kind of test your, you know, your accuracy on smaller targets, like take your time, zero in on it, but then the target gets smaller and smaller. So you're less likely to actually like jump and shoot too soon, but you're more likely to miss because the target's so small. So it did feel like there were two different ways to sort of play that, or even just like there was a punishment for missing right away.
Right. No, and that's what I agree
on.
It
sounds like it's the same philosophy of actually skeet shooting. Like I've never done it before, but it sounds like it could be applied to the actual like sport
right.
or activity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it seems like it translated well.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I do have some stray thoughts.
Oh, I'd love to hear some stray thoughts.
I do think that even though I did say that overdone joke about shooting the dog, I think the dog gets a bad rap because, yeah, he snickers at you when you miss, but he also seems to be genuinely happy for you when you actually hit that duck and he's like,
holds them
hey,
up,
look
right.
what I got. Like... He's there with you, and I think he's laughing with you and not at you.
He is part of the experience for sure. I actually feel very close to the dog.
The dog, yeah.
Like I don't want to say that like you know I thought about the dog when the game was off. All right, you know because that's not true. That's like a Joe thing. I guarantee you. Right. I guarantee you. Joe actually had a dream where he went out into his backyard and the dog hopped over the bushes and he started shooting at ducks violently.
I'm convinced it wasn't a dream, actually.
Oh my gosh! Any other stray thoughts?
I think that's
you're,
really it.
All right,
for me.
You're good.
I think my only. I mean, this might not necessarily be a stray thought, but so I was. I'm actually right now remote because I'm at my parents' house. I'm visiting my parents' house for the week, and I was watching my brother play Fortnite on the PS4, and I just kept wishing I had an NES with me so I could play Duck Hunt. So I felt like that was such a testament to how good this game still is. Like
I love it.
They're playing a PS4, and I'm just like, I want to play this NES game.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing, Joe, and I think that kind of brings us into what our next topic will be. But real quick, I have to bring up because it's just something as a Smash Brothers guy, I have to bring it up. Duck Hunt as a character is in Super Smash Brothers for Wii U and 3DS. Like like the dog and the duck forged
an alliance.
Right, they forged an alliance together. It feels kind of wrong.
Yeah,
it should have been the dog and me
kosher.
With the gun. You know, like, that should have been the actual Smash Brothers character.
Well, a prequel before the dog betrayed the duck.
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
So wait, that puts everything in the Smash Brothers universe and all the other games in
everything
in,
is before,
is
Duck,
before
Hunt.
Duck Hunt.
Yes, Duck Hunt is the end all.
We never, we're playing the games chronologically, but we've never decided to create like a Nintendo cinematic universe.
Smash Brothers just is that.
But I guess what I meant more is like the timeline of these games. So like, where does Duck Hunt play in relation to my fight against the Super Bowl team in 10-yard fight? Like, do they happen on the same day?
I think it's not far off. Yeah. It's probably within the same calendar year.
Okay, great.
I think we're going to have to wait for Disney to buy Nintendo to see the cinematic universe.
Well, they did just announce that Mario movie, but that's not with Disney. That's with Illumination. But we're not going to talk about that.
No.
That's not for this. But I have to mention just real fast that, like, what a surprise that was to get Duck Hunt as a character back into Smash Brothers. And while that's a modern game, I would love to get takes on two people that are very jazzed about Duck Hunt. I'd love to get your guys' take on what would a modern, like, they if they made another Duck Hunt game, Nintendo announces Duck Hunt for Switch, right? What does it have? What are the features that put it in a modern game?
All right, so it's full-blown simulation. Beautifully rendered ducks.
Okay.
Like there's actually like a mode that you go into that's just like a duck bestiary. Like, and they're actually like different sub genuses of duck. And it's really just a love letter to ducks.
Right. It's kind of like Monster Hunter for ducks. Like,
yeah. But the dog, like, you know how like 2016 or maybe it was 2015 was like the year of the dog companion, like with Call of Duty having like a dog thing.
Oh, yeah, okay, right. And
they're going to sell. Like, the dog is going to be the new, like, that is the companion to end all companions if they made this game.
I imagine it being, like, open world, kind of like
Breath
of the Wild
style
graphics, you know, where it's, like, beautifully artistic and, like, you seem like you were focusing on, like, very hyper-real graphics.
Very hyper-real. I think that what it's a very...
Do you know Nintendo?
I know Nintendo.
Personally?
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, so it's going to be, you walk around. It's actually, there's no music. It's a very, it's quiet, it's soothing, sort of like Breath of the Wild, but, and then you switch modes, when you find a good spot with that weird, like there will be that tree.
And then it just kind of be, yeah, wow, that's, like, yeah, somewhere. And it just kind of becomes like that 2D plane again.
And then you look down and you're holding an NES controller for some reason. Right.
I like Joe, the idea please. that you have to track the ducks. There's a duck tracking element that's introduced.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, in case they get away. Mm-hmm. And actually, yeah, I really like this game now, and I kind of hope Nintendo gives us Duck Hunt 2 for the Nintendo Switch.
I'll tell you what I hope it's not, because
Duck
they
Hunt 2 Breath of the Wild. That's perfect. That's actually beautiful.
Yeah.
Joe?
No, because they did re-release, I mean, it wasn't a remake, but they re-released it for the Wii U. And
yes,
the only
well, we don't talk about that console. people are still upset, Joe. They paid a lot of money for that console.
Well, I mean, and Duck Hunt's not as good on the Wii U. They added a crosshair, so it's just a point-and-click game. You're just clicking on ducks.
Right, that seems a little sacrilege as a way to play this game.
Yeah.
So, real fast. Duck Hunt was developed by Nintendo R&D, but also specifically by Gunpei Yokoi, who actually is more famously known. I mean, Duck Hunt was like his passion project all the way from the 70s with the projector version, but that's really the guy who's behind the Game Boy.
Yeah.
You know, like, so he wasn't just designing innovative, like, software like Duck Hunt, where it's you're shooting at the screen. He came up with that whole system. You also have, like, him designing, like, hardware that pretty much put Nintendo on the map. I mean, Game Boy... that was my first experience to gaming, was with the big fat Game Boy. But
that was the first
game?
That
was my first experience with Kirby's Dream Land. That was my first game. But I just thought that was worth mentioning. Gunpei Yokoi, he continued to develop stuff for Nintendo for a long time until I believe the Virtual Boy was kind of his last thing. And it was kind of sad. It's a less than graceful exit. For Nintendo, he kind of had to leave after that, and it is disappointing to see the company treat him that way after his advancements with the Game Boy and everything, but I just thought that was worth a mention. Let's get right into Essential Games List. All right, it's Essential Games List. We're in episode 4 now, so you guys should really know what this is. I mean, come on, you've been listening to every single episode, right? Well, if you haven't, here's what the Essential Games List is. Essentially, here's what the Essential Games List is.
That's a character. Good.
Basically, you have your PS4, you have your PC, you got all these great games, you have your Nintendo Switch too, why not? And you're playing all these great games, your backlog's already huge, and then you hear about a game like Duck Hunt, and you're like, huh, should I play Duck Hunt when I have access to Life is Strange? I'm always going to try and just go weirder.
The most obscure comparison.
With games. Should I play Duck Hunt when I have Life is Strange in my backlog? And basically we're here to tell you if Duck Hunt is essential. And that doesn't mean that if we say it's not essential that you should skip it. We're just saying that, like, essential games means this defines the NES. This is still a relevant game today. Let's kick things off with Joe. Joe, I have a strong suspicion about where this Essential Games List is going, so let's hear it.
Well, here comes the twist. No, there's no twist. Yeah, I obviously am putting this on my Essential Games List, or voting for it to go on the Essential Games List. I think just the fact that I couldn't put the game down, I mean, I think that it offered a lot, it didn't get boring, and it was just fun to compete with other people. The only issue with that is it might be a little tough to get your hands on, because you do need the original cartridge, you need an NES, you need a CRT TV, and you need, like, an official Nintendo Zapper. So,
but you're saying all of that's worth tracking down to play this.
I think all of that's worth tracking down to play this, because you have it, and it's just, it'll be fun, you know, you can just keep busting it out whenever you have company over, and you can compete against everyone, you know, I think it's worth it. If you can track that stuff down, definitely worth the play.
All right, so it's in Joe's Essential Games List. Sean?
I'm going to put it in the Essential Games List.
There it is.
I think, yeah, it is difficult to... It's a difficult game to find and play correctly, but this is, like I said near the beginning, like this game doesn't age like the rest of them because of just the nature of it. And I really do, like, as I was explaining that sort of joking remake sequel, I really want to play that now.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is actually in the essential games list now.
This is, and that's true. One thing we didn't mention is that it just takes a majority vote here to get into the essential games list. So 2 out of 3 does do it. However, I had a come to Jesus moment when talking about the essential games list for a minute. You guys were bringing up great points, and I was like, yeah, it's a good game. It's a good game. But then I said what the essential games list is. And the key word there is that it is an essential part of the NES experience. And I do feel like Duck Hunt is essential to the NES. I do feel like no other NES game gets the zapper, which is a key component of like NES launch and just like the concept of like playing Nintendo. And so when I think about the essential experience for the NES, I think this game offers it. And while I went back and kind of had my fill, I do think that if you're curious about Duck Hunt and you haven't played, this is a game worth playing again.
Yes.
You know, it made up what Nintendo was at that time. It's still kind of, it feels Nintendo. But overall, I have to put this in the essential games list, because I feel like if you're interested in Duck Hunt, if you're interested in the experience of the NES, this game is still worth playing.
So I know that we're down a person, but since it's unanimous, does this get gold?
This gets gold.
This is gold.
This is unanimous. And I want to thank both of you for really turning this ship around.
I just got the chills. Yeah. Duck Hunt, my favorite game of all time. No, I'm just kidding. But now, Duck Hunt is essential.
Duck Hunt is 1985 Game of the Year right now.
Yeah.
Until the rest of the games get reviewed. But yeah, that was really cool. Guys, thank you so much for contributing to today's episode.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And that's all the time we have for this episode of Nestalgia. Join us next time for Excitebike. And be sure to play it yourself if you can. For more Nestalgia, please subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen. And be sure to check out NostalgiaCast.com. That's NestalgiaCast.com. There, you'll find links to the show and show notes, as well as our other platforms, such as Twitch, where we do semi-regular Let's Plays of the games we talk about here. We also have YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you so much for your support of Nestalgia. We thank you for spending time with us. I'm Michael Esposito. You can find me on @EspositoFilm on Twitter, and I'll talk to you soon.